First of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Jimmy Schulz. I'm a member of German Parliament since 2009. And in my real life before that, I used to be a computer. I'm founder and CEO of a little computer company, and we're mainly developed software under the hood of the internet. Well, my company still does that, and unless I'm not re-elected in 18 months, well, I'm going to do that again. In Parliament, I'm mainly taking care about all the issues concerning the internet and how society changes through digitalization and global networks. I'm a member of the Committee for Internal Affairs. I'm chairman for my political parliamentary party and the subcommittee for new media and in the Committee for Internet and Digital Digital Society. Today I'm talking about about democracy 2.0 and how democracy changes, how it should change, how it must change to be compatible with the future of our societies. Let me start first. The idea of democracy is quite old, a couple of thousand years old, and in fact, it had to cope with problems of lack of communication possibilities since then. So a lot of rules we have within our democracy representative systems just are workarounds for the insufficiency of the possibility to communicate. For one example you should know is that, for example, the system how you elect the American president. Because you couldn't ship all the voters to Washington to vote for the president, you had your delegates to send them to Washington. You still do that, but in fact you wouldn't need that anymore because it wouldn't be a problem to have voters vote directly for the president right now. On the other hand, democracy can change using new possibilities and technology progress. On the other hand, what we see in Germany and Europe, and maybe you see that here too, is that not sufficient with how democracy representative systems work right now. One lack our systems have is that they seem to be intransparent, which means that people think that politics is made behind closed doors, that they don't know how it works and what politicians are talking about and how decisions are made. If that assumption is true or not doesn't play a role, but people think it's like that. So that, and that's already a problem if they think it's like that. On the other hand, some people are thinking that there is no real dialogue between politics and the voters, between society and the parliamentarians. They think that politicians don't listen what the voters and the people are saying. They think that they should listen more to the people's minds. And third, they think they should have been more involved in decision itself, or are expecting a more direct democracy elements in the democratic system. We had a couple of examples in Germany, especially where we saw that these problems are getting more and more severe. For example, building a new train station in Stuttgart, got a lot of people on the streets demonstrating against it. And they were talking about, oh, the whole decision-making, the political process took more than 20 years. So, the people now being young, like 25 years, can't remember the start of that political process. And now they think, okay, there's been something going wrong because we haven't been asked that this train station was built. And talking about that, we found out and we think about how we can get, decision-making for large projects faster on one side and how to get involved the people more into the political decision-making process. I already mentioned there is a commission for Internet and Digital Society in the German Parliament. The reason for that was that in the former years and former decades, the internet and the process of changing society by digitalization was quite ignored by politicians. And since the last session of the German Parliament, since 2009, the governing parties, the Liberal Democrats and the Christian Democrats, said, okay, we have to cope with that issue, internet, and what it changes in society with an own committee. And this committee is a very special committee. It's not just 17 parliamentarians in it, like most of the committees have only parliamentarians in it, being member of the committee, but it has also 17 external experts, which are talking with a full vote right in that committee. So we have 34 voting members of the committee. These external experts are coming out of large companies, are professors, are community members. And the problem was how to get establishing that committee for Internet and Digital Society, we decided, parliament decided that we wanted to get the people more involved in the work of a parliament. So we decided to have an 18th external expert, the people of Germany. But the problem was how to get the people involved. There was no, we've never done that before. So, we've been talking about quite a while about, 1 year, how to deal with that problem, how to get 82 million people getting involved in the parliamentarian work directly. I knew it wouldn't work, but the parliament's president said, okay, we do have a homepage, do a forum software and let them discuss it. It's quite hard to get millions of people discuss a problem on a forum software. And, we've tried it, of course, because we knew it wouldn't work, but the president wanted it like that. So we started out, for example, and we're talking about very special things like, for example, net neutrality or things like that. So, not 80 million people will discuss a problem like net neutrality, but there are several thousands of people who wanted to discuss that problem. So we put a text page, one page, on the forum and asked the people, hey, let's discuss that. So but what happened? Well, you might expect it. The first one asked, okay, I like the first paragraph of that page, but I don't like the rest. The second said, okay, I don't like the first paragraph, but I like the rest. The second said, I like the middle paragraph, and the rest is bullshit. And so on and so on. About 1,000 forum messages. And when you try to figure out what the people want, it's impossible. It'll take years. So this concept failed, of course. It had to fail because you can't do that like that. So thinking on how we can solve the problem, we stumbled upon a political theory called liquid democracy. Maybe you've heard about that. liquid democracy can do much more than just solving that problem. It has the idea of delegated voting or proxy voting in it. I'm going to ignore that issue for today because it doesn't have anything to do with how we are working with that idea. That political theory of liquid democracy has two instances of software or online systems which were developed out of that political theory. The one is liquid feedback and the other one is adhocracy, for ad hoc democracy, which I'm talking about today. The idea behind that was for us to solve that problem that we have about 1,000 different forum posts, and we don't know how to cope with it, how to get the political mainstream out of that, what the people want. So what adhocracy could do, I'm just going to describe how we use it in the German parliament, is we have the same setting as before. We have a one page of, for example, talking about data security, and which we have developed within the committee, and we want now the people to comment on that if they have other different new ideas on the paper we wrote. So we put that paper in the adhocracy system, which by the way is available to public under the domain demokratie.de. As you can see, no, you can't. Yeah, you can see it there. You can all try the system if you want to. It's in German, by the way. So what we did, we put that page on the adhocracy system. And now the same things happened again. Well, the first one said, I like the first paragraph, but I don't like the rest. The second one says, I don't like the first paragraph, but I like the rest. And the third one said, I like the middle paragraph, but I don't like the rest. And so on and so on and so on. But within that system, for example, it's just an example, we're experimenting with that, is that the whole discussion will take 14 days. And the best voted two texts will go into our work of the committee. So it's, in fact, it's just not more than a voting system. It's like an etherpad where you can work on together on a text. And the fine part of it is that not every one of the 1,000 participating users can stick to their original opinion, because then they won't get voted to a high level and they just got one vote themselves. So what they had to learn is how to cope with others, how to find a compromise, so to get a text together and have two votes or more than that. So what we did, they tried to get more and more votes, but you have to have, I'd like your text, take it with it. If you do that and that changes, you get another vote. So what we did, and that is quite interesting to view for a political scientist like me, it was that we crowdsourced the political process. That's what you do normally in a parliament to find majorities. We just crowdsourced to the people, and they had to find majorities. And in the end, for example, one of the texts which had been developed over 14 days had 300 voters, and the other one 250 voters, and there are a couple of, hundreds other texts which didn't have, more than one or two or five votes. So it was quite interesting. And these texts we are implementing, like one of our 34 voting members of the committee has proposed this text, where it's not direct democracy, because in the end we are deciding in the committee about if this text is accepted or not. But the text is coming from the outside. It's coming from the people. And it was the first time ever in history of German parliament where we've done that, and it worked quite well. We now have about more than 3,300 registered users, And a broad discussion with hundreds of users getting involved in the discussions for certain issues. And I think right now we have 170 texts having been adopted by the committee coming from that system and will be discussed in Parliament afterwards. Of course, there are problems. Of course, it's not easy. And of course, it's an experiment. We have 3,300 registered users, but it's just 3,000 out of 60 million voters in Germany. The problem is that legitimate enough for a parliament or not? We have a problem. Well, we have not solved the problem of how the users identify themselves, because if you want to, you can register yourself, not being a German. But at the moment, we ignore the whole thing because it's an experiment, and in the end, we're gonna vote on the text, no matter where we come from. But I'm quite impressed how about the quality of the discussions we have there, and no one can tell us, hey, but you didn't ask us. We asked. Everything we do in that committee is transparent. All the committee sessions are live streamed on the internet. All the documents we use with sitting in the parliament are public available in this office committee. So someone who watches the live stream has all the same paper on the table as I do when I decide about the issue. That's the one thing. And the dialogue we've solved with the adhocracy system, where there's a real dialogue. They can interact with us. We do Twitter and we do react on emails and other communication media and get all these input within our work. It's an experiment which will end by the end of this year. And until now, I'm quite impressed and very positive about it, how we can do things like that, how we can solve the disappointment about representative democracy system within the people of and the voters. So I think it's a good way to solve problems like that. But we're just starting. We're just at the start point of the whole development, how democracy will work in the future. So I see, as far as I know, we have the only parliament in the world using tools like that, national parliament, on lower level parliaments. Even in Germany, it's quite widely available, interactive methods. But on national parliament level, I haven't heard of anything like that worldwide. So other problems we face, of course, is how do we cope with that lobbyists are flooding the system, or special pressure groups are flooding the system and getting the discussion into a special direction. We're working on that lobbyists and large companies have to register to, and they don't have votes, but they can make proposals in the system. And we're still trying to improve the whole thing. It's quite complicated to use, and it doesn't look very nice, but we're working together with that NGO who's developing the whole thing. To improve the system on and on. And another problem is that no one knows about it. That's why I'm here and talk about it. I travel a lot within Germany and talk to our school classes and ask, the first thing I ask, have you ever heard about the thing that you can work with the parliament and your ideas are discussed in parliament? No one even knows, never, ever. So what we try to do is get a marketing campaign out to tell people that, hey, you can get involved in parliamentary work. But still, we just started a year ago, and still 3,300 registered users. So, yeah, we're working on it. And I hope that the Parliament, at the end of that experiment, will look for, well, an ongoing project where we can use that these tools in the future. And I hope that other parliaments will follow that example. So I'm faster than I expected to be, so I'm open for questions or discussion. And you need to use the microphone, please, because it's podcasted.
I wondered if you had a lot of trouble with, you know, people just putting inflammatory text, or and do you have something to just report?
We had not real problems. We have one problem is that one of the users, which are anonymous, they just need an email address, always has an change request for stopping the project. That's the only one. Of course, there are requests and change requests that are not useful, but we don't got flooded with useless information. Any other questions? Yeah, go on. I'm here for another half an hour. So,
hello, my name is Martin. I'm from Norway. I'm very impressed by what you have done in Germany, and it sounds very nice. But 3,500 users is pretty low in large population you have. What are you doing to increase that number?
Okay. On the one hand, it's more than the expected. On the other hand, it's not that much that I hope. And in the third place, the issues we discussed there are quite special. It's not that everyone is interested in net neutrality on a protocol level. We are very technical based on that commission, very technical, low-level technical, and we go very in deep details. And I don't think that maybe 20,000 people or more will are interested in discussing things like that on that level. And we just started. Maybe it's not enough, you're right. But on the other hand, maybe in 10 years, 15 years, hundreds of thousands, millions of people will discuss on systems like that. It's just we tried it within that committee because people who know or who knew adhocracy beforehand are exactly the people who are discussing the issues of internet and digital society. Well, maybe after that experiment, we will try that in other political issues, which are more of wide interest, broad interest. Maybe that's one of the issues. And the other issue is that no one knows it because we don't have any financial means to market the whole thing, to make it public. So, next question. We have another 30 minutes to go, so go on.
I was curious if you're looking at integrating like OAuth 2 into it so that you could let people immediately connect their Facebook account or, you know, whatever the equivalent thing is in Germany.
Yeah, it's Facebook. But that's exactly the thing we didn't want to do. We didn't want to prefer one or the other network, company, things like that. We want to be neutral.
And you could offer a pile of them because OAuth is...
This is going to be a quite complicated political issue. For example, Iceland, as far as I remember, discussed their new constitution on Facebook. So if you want to discuss the new constitution, you had to be a Facebook member. I can't accept that. So we have to have a neutral, completely independent platform for that.
I guess we're from Texas, and we're involved in a congressional campaign there. And what I've been thinking about trying to do for the web part of the campaign is to let constituents in the district pick who their expert is out of their friends. Like, so that for various topics, you could say, you know, for this topic, which of your friends knows, you know, the most about this? Hmm. And then let that friend pick who they think knows the most about it, and let that person pick who they think knows the most about it, and then rank the people sort of like the – but I think this would have a viral propagation factor.
Yeah.
You know, it could spread to a large number of people. Yeah. I wondered if Adhocracy it would be a good fit to build this on, or if it's, you know, would...
It's one of the ideas of liquid democracy is that delegated voting. Maybe we could talk about that. The idea of liquid democracy, are you familiar with that? Okay, so, and Adhocracy is one of the software tools which completely implemented the idea. We are not using the delegated voting system within our parliamentarian system because we don't need that. But in fact, that would be the complete idea that you delegate. I don't know anything about the whole thing, but I know a friend who knows it, and I give him my vote on that. Maybe I don't think we're that far for a committee of the German parliament to do that, things like that. What we are trying to do within my political party, the Liberal Democrats, within the party to get, for example, on to discuss certain issues, we're trying to implement things like that right now. So within a closed group, it's quite easy to do so. But within a complete nation, it's quite complicated to implement things like that. At the moment, I think I wouldn't know how to do it today. Next question.
Yeah, I was just wondering on the issue of just the general issue of opening things up.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Sorry, on the general issue of opening things up this way, yeah. How is the rest of the German parliament and how much call for this? Now, you mentioned that there was an outcry in a specific instance for, you know, more participation from the constituents. How much do you suspect if you work out all the technical and process issues, what kind of participation would be a reasonable goal? So there's two questions there, really. Mm. So how much support, and then what do you think a reasonable goal for participation would be? Thanks. Mm.
I hope I got you right, because I can't hear really good what you say. I'll try my best. The resistance against ideas like that within the parliamentarians is quite huge. They fear loss of power and, the reason of their existence being parliamentarians. So it took us more than a year to implement, to get the acceptance of the parliamentarian presidency to implement a thing like that. And in fact, well, it's not on a state-owned server. We paid it privately. but we, the members of that committee, a commission for internet and digital society, all of us accepted that this is the system we're going to use. It's not really an official system. We just did it because I didn't. I was not willing to wait any longer. and for the future, it's going to be a problem. I know that. Ideas like that and the technology is not accepted by the majority of the parliament. So it's going to be quite it's not going to be easy, and we have to fight for it. Was that the answer to your question?
The other question was about what do you think a reasonable goal would be for participation. Probably understanding, I think that America has a pretty low voter turnout for democracies. What's a reasonable amount of participation on this if you had worked out all of the authentication issues and, you know, all of the interface issues? What would be the goal of this if you, once you got through the support? Not to say any of this is simple. Mm.
Okay. It's quite complicated. We've been discussing that within the commission, within the committee. Where this experiment is going to lead us in the next couple of years, where are committees like us who could use things like that? For example, of course, we can't discuss issues about national security in a public system like that. This is obvious. So we were seeking for which committee are, which political issues are compatible with a discussion like that, or a way to discuss things like that. So there's one way. I don't know how it works in the US, but in Germany, every German has the right to put a petition to the parliament, and it has to be replied. If, for example, I think my right of freedom of speech is not recognized or treated badly, I'm allowed to write to the parliament, and they have to reply. We have to talk about that case. It's about 30,000 petitions like that per year, and there's a committee for petitions within the parliament. We have to deal with these petitions to parliament. And there are, since a couple of years, mass petitions. So not only a single human being can write a petition, but a whole group can do that. And if it's more than 50,000, it has to be discussed publicly. And if it's more, I think, than 100,000, it has to be discussed with the petitor in the parliament, in that committee. And we're thinking about that right at the moment. This system is quite inflexible because there's one petitor who writes a petition and others can sign it, but they can't change it. So one of the ideas is, that might be the next step, what I'm fighting for, is to get the system, adhocracy or anything like that, into our petition system. So one can a petition, and others can work on it, for example, in a period of 3 months, and then it can be publicly signed. So it's not just one opinion, but it has been supported by more people, and others can sign it too. It might be one way we can get it into the parliamentary work. And first step, of course, my goal for the future is that everything which can be discussed publicly should be discussed publicly.
This is not a question, it's a request. Since we're here and since you're here, could you walk us through the system, show us how it works? Because your knowledge of German is probably better than ours, and it's easier if you just click through it and show a little how it works. Can you do that?
Yeah, I'll try my best. Can we just get... I'm not prepared for it, doing it, but it doesn't matter. It's in, so. Okay. Here we go. So it's all in German, but maybe, okay. The committee is called Enquete Commission, Kommission für Internet und digitale Gesellschaft, as you can see on the right-hand side. Okay. Oh, it's 2,500. Sorry about that. 2,565 members, 425 suggestions, 2,202 comments, and 13,265 votes. Until today. Within that committee, we do have 12 project groups working on all in all 33 issues, like net neutrality, data protection, cybersecurity, media competence, things like that. It's 33 of these issues and 12 project groups working on the whole thing. For example, it's like education and development, research, democracy and state, I don't know what's user protection, copyright, access, structure, security on the net. This is where we play. It's a sandbox. This is the project group I'm going to lead. It's just starting next couple of weeks. I'll be the chairman of that project group, interoperability standards, open source, international internet governance. Okay, and that are internal groups, for example, on the online participation group is, it's a subcommittee which is dealing with how we work, how we use things like that, like autocracy. It's economics, work, green IT, data protection, personal rights, net neutrality, culture, media, public, and media competence. These are most of the. Let's see. I haven't looked into it a couple of days, so I don't know if there's. There are already 8 proposals here. Let's go into that one because I have to read it anyway. Okay, so there is an English version of that, I think, but it's still under development. So it's not looking nice. I know, but the whole point is that it's developed by volunteers, and the whole system is run by volunteers. They don't get any money for it. So, yeah. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not in the developing group. I think so too. Yeah. For example, that's for my project group, open source, to be short. So there has been, in spite of the whole project group, didn't start yet their work. It's gonna start in April, May, maybe. There are already suggestions on what we should do in that project group. For example, I haven't read it yet, so I'm just interested. How to easy operating system change? It's one issue we should talk about on the in the parliament. I should translate so you understand what's going on. Using a mobile phone, and you can take your number with you, and it's by law that you can take your number from one provider to the next provider in Germany. You should have the opportunity with computers to change the operating system easily. For example, if you don't like Microsoft, you should be able to use and change to FreeBSD, Fedora, Ubuntu, Google Chrome, or whatever, and it should be a law there. And we have been voting about the whole thing already, I think. There is no discussion about that. Yeah, and here you see the votes. All in all, 5 votes, 4 were pro that proposal and 1 against it. And we'll see. If nothing changes, I'm going to discuss that proposal within that subcommittee. Because it has enough votes right now. So let's see if we can another. I'm not registered right now. If I'm logged in, I will see the names. But I don't. Okay, here you see. Maybe go to something where working group right now. We some of those are working right now. For example, yes, what's one here?
We don't have a big spam problem.
No.
How do you prevent
Nobody knows it. That's best spam protection ever. No one knows. No. Until today, the registered users, we don't spam on no one. Because the people getting involved in that thing really are fascinated about they can participate like that. They don't want to disturb the system. Yeah. So let's see. For example, we do public hearings. Next will be next Monday. It's a questions to the public hearing of 19th of March. So that's another way we can get involved. We have an expert hearing. We invite experts on a certain topic. And the questions normally it's 1 to 3 hours expert hearing like that. And the members of committee are allowed to have 2 to 3 questions to the experts. And we open up that possibility to public. So through the autocracy system, we can propose questions we're going to ask the experts. And that's one of these here, for example. So so this hearing is about how political... it's about the whole, about the issue itself. Political communication and participation will change through digitalization and internet. And we're discussing the whole thing there. And there is a question. Oh, here. Is this the first question from public? How many percent of the public? How many percent of the population in Germany can participate in those new forms of communication and participate in the whole process like that? Of course, we don't have 100% internet access within the population of Germany. It's about 60%. So we exclude 40% of that process. Yes, we do. We know that. Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Jens. I'm from Germany, and I know the committee, and I like the idea of transparency, and I think it was the right time to start it. But while we are here discussing this topic, it has been made public that the German Ministry of Economics, which is being led by your currently party leader, is discussing controversial measures which resemble to ACTA, SOPA and PIPA and so on, and the privatization of law enforcement. And there are no users of the community and no liberal lobby groups for net freedom and so on at the table. And I think it's something like water preaching with transparency and wine drinking when the government makes such things.
Mm. It's not the topic I'm talking about right now, but as you might know, the Ministry of Justice refused to sign ACTA. So we stopped the whole process in Germany, and we didn't support SOPA and PIPA. In fact, the Ministry of Justice said that we are not going to accept anything like that. There will be nothing like a free strikes model in Germany, and we won't cut any lines, internet lines. And as you might know, I'm quite radical about that issue. But it's not the topic of the session here. So, any other questions? Maybe we can discuss that later on if you want to.
I did want to let you know that there are definitely some people who are aware of your work. I found out about adhocracy through some of the system administrators for the United States Senate's Sergeant at Arms office, which is the, you know, is an official part of this. Is that's who's in charge of all the internal web servers and everything for the Senate. There's actually a website here called CrowdVote that Jason Blum, one of the guys who works.
CrowdVote.
CrowdVote.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, they're still working on getting it started, but so there's definitely some awareness of the work and interest in it.
Yeah, that's great. Maybe it's quite good that everyone who works on systems like that, on ideas on that worldwide, to get into a discussion and a dialogue. I've been talking about that also on IGF conference in Nairobi last summer. It's IGF process, Internet Governance Forum, and we're trying to get that, a worldwide movement to within parliaments worldwide. Any more questions? If there's no more questions, we're going to stop, and thank you very much.